Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio with Miss Tara, Janelle, myself, Sandy, and today we're going to visit John 21. And this is an exciting last chapter of John, and it's all about Jesus' reappearance to the disciples for the third time. And this time he's here to reinstate or restore Peter.
Yeah, it's such a good passage. The other morning as I was going through this passage and studying and preparing, sometimes God just gives you those moments where scripture just, like, everything just falls together.
Yeah.
And we'll start with what God kind of taught me in that. But for our 4 weeks, I want us to have something in our thoughts. I, last week, was listening to a sermon series from Michael Ramsden, who is a Christian apologist under Ravi Zacharias' ministries, and he was talking about how to engage in our culture. Mm-hmm. And in that sermon series, he asked this question. He goes, how do we grow leaders if we do not have commitment? And he is going around and talking, and this is like a question he's asking regularly. He travels worldwide. And I think it was in the Britain area, he was talking to the person who oversees leaders there, and I just went blank on what theirs was. And in America, it was with the FBI. It was the military in Britain. Mm-hmm. And he was asking this question. And both leaders of the organization said, if you only knew, we have spent millions of dollars in order to have that question answered. Mm. Because if they come in and they join our military, if they come in and join the FBI and they don't have commitment, we cannot get them to do what we need them to do. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being where we have a turnover rate, we have issues, it causes problems. And essentially, I have not been able to stop thinking about that, because in what I do in ministry at Grace University, that is what I do, is I train up leaders. And my number one struggle is that I can't get somebody to buy in if I don't have commitment. And so trying to get them to have the commitment and how to grow that. And that's what this is all about. Mm. That is the summation, if I could put it, for John 21, is Jesus is finalizing in Peter's heart his commitment. Mm. And so as we go through the 4 weeks, I want us to keep that and keep going back to that, what that commitment looks like, because he actually provides for Peter the answers to that, and he provides it for us. And sometimes we can make it so complicated, and it's not.
We do.
It is not. It is simple. And so I want us to do that. So let's go in and let's do John 21. All right. The Bible tells us that Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples and at the Sea of Galilee. And when he was revealing himself, there were seven disciples that had gathered out to go fishing. And they were out on the sea fishing, and they had fished all night. And they didn't catch anything. But they saw someone out on the land, and he called out, and he's like, did you catch anything? No, they didn't catch anything. And so he said, throw it over to the other side. And so they immediately took their nets and cast them on the other side. And as they did, they started to pull in. They had so many fish, such a large number of fish, 153 in total, that literally their nets, it was hard for them to pull it in. And it was at that moment that the beloved, the one who was the beloved, called out to Peter and said, it is the Lord. Well, Peter, when he heard this, immediately grabbed his outer garment, and he jumped into the water, and he began to swim to get to Jesus. And the disciples, obviously, they rowed the boat in. And when they got there, Jesus had prepared for them fish over charcoal fire on the land. And he said, bring some of the fish you caught. And so Peter and the disciples hauled it in. They brought in 153 fish, they counted. But the nets had not torn. And he said, come and have breakfast with me. And so none of the disciples at this point dared to even mention, who is this? They knew immediately, this is Jesus, as they were breaking bread with him. And it's the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples before after he had been raised from the dead. Well, he then turns and he looks and he says, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. Jesus, and then he, second time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he says, shepherd my sheep. And a third time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And scripture tells us that Peter was grieved and his heart this third time to be asked, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And he assures him, he says to him, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted, but when you grow old, you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else is going to tie and carry you where you don't want to go. And he said this to signify by what kind of death that Peter would glorify God. And after he told him how he would die, Jesus looked at him and said, follow me. Well, Peter then turned and he looked at the beloved disciple and he said, well, what about him? And Jesus says, what's that to you? And he says, if I want him to remain until I come, Jesus answered, as for you, you just follow me. And so this report spread to all the brothers and the disciples that the beloved one wouldn't die. Yet Jesus didn't tell him that he would not die. He just says, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Now, the scripture closes and lets us know that if all the things that were spoken about Jesus were written down, I just went blank, who testifies to these things and who wrote them down, we know that it is all true. And there's so many things that Jesus did that one by one, not even the world itself could contain the books. Mm. And so here we have our passage. It's so beautiful. May God honor the telling of his word. We have Jesus again greeting the disciples. And so I'm going through and I'm looking at this, and I first want to hear from Janelle and Sandy. What first comes to mind as you were hearing this passage?
I just love how, you know, there was that time in the past in Peter's life, you know, when he had the hesitation of stepping out onto the water to come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can picture the Bible as a movie, and there's this big scene where Peter is timid and he's trying to step out on the water and he's unsure and he walks and then he falls and it he doesn't know what it means. And then at the climax of this movie, Peter sees Jesus and he doesn't even think. He just jumps out and goes to him.
Yeah, I love it because he's not afraid of the plunge.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big splash for certain. Sandy, what came to your mind?
Well, I think the same thing as Janelle's, Peter, you know, and how we know him as an impulsive, sometimes thoughtless person, mm-hmm. you know, but I think you see the change right here that Jesus has pretty much reached his heart. Mm-hmm. And so we see the change of how he wants to follow the Lord. And you talked about commitment right here. I think he's committing himself to the Lord.
Right. That the scene of him jumping is definitely a commitment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I began, and the first thing, because normally we might go through and look at all the different disciples or whatever, and we'll do Peter later. I want us right now I want us to focus in, what does Jesus reveal about himself here? I want us just to start with Jesus. So what could you say about Jesus's character, about him as a person? Him as the Lord. What are the things that you see revealed about Jesus as we listen to this passage?
I think he shows his love. Okay. You know, he loves us so much that whenever we fall, he's right there to pick us up like he did Peter, you know. He reinstated him, you know, and he did it. He fell three times, so he reinstated him three times. Mm. So it's never endless of how his grace will happen.
Even something as simple as his provision, you know, he gave them plenty of fish to feed themselves. I mean, that fish probably would have gotten them a pretty penny or like food to feed them for quite some time, which can establish them in the beginning of their ministry. And that, like, they probably wouldn't even have thought of it at that time. But he shows his provision and his care for them.
That's good. That's good.
And he's always teaching. You know, I love that because there's always a lesson in everything that, you know, Jesus tells us to do.
Isn't that true? Mm. That's so good. I was just blown away because Jesus, he just revealed himself where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't that he didn't wait until it was like they came to the synagogue or whatever. They were out in the water and, you know, mm-hmm. just doing their thing. And where they're at is mm-hmm. where Jesus revealed himself.
Yep.
And so it's not a special place. It's not a special circumstance. It's just where we are.
Mm-hmm.
He makes himself known to us where we are at. And I don't know why. That astounded me. Mm-hmm. Like, it really hit me hard. And I think it's funny because this location that this happened, they actually, on the Sea of Galilee, which is also known as the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Gennesaret, this particular location modern day is called Tapka. And when we were there this past May, my daughter, Michaela, like, she had where Jesus revealed himself to her.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a very, very hot day. And this area in particular is called, they have like springs that are coming out, and they call it the Seven Springs. And so in Tapka, you know, people, tourists like to go to the Seven Springs. They believe this actual seashore is the seashore this would have happened, where the charcoal and the fish would have occurred. And there's a bunch of rocks in this area. And it's under the Mountain of Beatitudes. And we were there sitting on the rocks, and it was an extremely hot day. And we're sitting there and listening to different people tell the passages. And Michaela had to tell this passage. And then all of a sudden, she just was caught by God
mm-hmm.
as he revealed himself to her. And she was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, we're sitting on rocks.
Mm-hmm.
The rocks are the same rocks. And mm-hmm. they were here on these rocks. And he was revealing himself to her.
Mm-hmm.
And was like a truly like profound God moment for her. And, you know, we climbed all over those rocks. We went over to the Seven Springs. It was so hot. Some of the boys just dove in and got into the waterfalls under the springs because it just felt so good. Didn't matter that they were gonna have to have the rest of the day with wet clothes. They were happy to be cooled off. But the revelation that he gives of himself, where we're at. And so being willing to look in the moment, how can I meet Jesus, you know, where I'm at? And this morning, in particular for myself, Catherine Saeed, who comes and is on the radio with us a lot, I'm just driving here to the radio station, and I'm praying through different things, the radio, and knowing that her family actually right now, as we're in the middle of this recording, are in their exams for their citizenship. And I just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't control myself. I started crying, like, overwhelmed by God. And my question I wanted to ask is like, do we look for him
mm-hmm.
where we were at? I was by myself in my car driving through a light, and all of a sudden I had a moment with God. And we need to be ready for that. And are we looking for that? And are we anticipating that? I think we try to manufacture it. We mm-hmm. try to create it. But he says, just be where you are.
Right.
And I will be with you. I will meet you there. And so as I did this, I was like, oh my goodness. I was just, God, that's profound right there. If that's the only thing I take from what I've studied in this, and there's so many rich things, that's mm-hmm. not even the beginning. The second thing that I thought was really cool is how he just meets the basic needs, and tying in with what Janelle was saying a minute ago. You know, they're out there fishing, and you know, the arguments go all over the place. You know, those foolish fishermen to, you know, they went back to what they knew, to maybe it was therapeutic because they don't have to think, you know. I mean, the spectrum of what the commentators say about the fact that they're fishing after everything they've seen. Jesus didn't say anything about that. He mm-hmm. knows that's where they're at and what their routine is. And he's out there making food and preparing for mm-hmm. them and meets their basic needs. And all of them, as Janelle just said, have families that still have to have their needs met. And they've been pretty busy. So a count of 153 fish for them was tremendous. Like, outrageous.
Well, I thought it was always so interesting when he pointed out that they had caught nothing. He pointed that out to them on their own. They couldn't catch something. But when he told them
right.
and guided them, they had a huge harvest of fish.
And the lesson on that is that he is ready to meet our need. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is are we looking to him?
Right.
Are we allowing him to reveal himself and to give that to us? The next thing that blew my mind away is once they get on the seashore, you know, and they've had their food, their needs been met, the fish, they've had the provision for how they'll take care of their families. And then he looks at Peter and he starts to ask him hard questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are we willing to allow him to ask us the hard questions, you know, and to not look at the questions as a tearing down or a breaking down, but to look at them as an opportunity for us to get closer to him. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he was willing to ask them questions, pulling on what Sandy said. Go ahead, Sandy.
No, I was going to say, even his questions got stronger. It was strong, and then it got less strong because it was like, do you truly love me more than these? And then the second time he said, do you truly love me? And then the third time he said, do you love me? So I thought that was interesting how he kind of went down and, because he knew he was reaching him, I think.
Yeah, we'll cover that in a couple of weeks. That's good. Good. It's good. It's good. The way that like he processes that. With the love. And so the challenge is will we love?
Right.
That's ultimately what it comes down to. He is revealing himself. He's meeting the needs. He's going to ask us the hard questions because he wants us to have his love. And if I have his love, and if I love myself, then I am able to love others. And at this point, Peter needs to learn to love himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peter understands and knows that God loves him and that Jesus loves him.
Right.
But because he has failed and denied Jesus three times.
Yeah, because the third time he was grieved. That right. even asked him a third time. So he was showing that he was grieving
right.
and pain.
Right, right. Exactly. And then the challenge to follow. Exactly. And getting to the place where he's willing to follow and literally leave everything. So his commitment has reached a level where he's seeing that he's present with him. He's going to meet his need. He is going to ask him hard questions. But if he does it out of love, when he follows, change will mm-hmm. happen. And so that is what his preparation is that he has. And so we've said this over and over again. Jesus is always in the process of preparing us. And it's the process that preparation takes place. It's not the final outcome. And sometimes we get upset at the process and we don't want it. But the reality is that he wants to. And so I summed this up. I was like, oh, wow. So Jesus reveals himself. He invites us. And then he welcomes us to engage. And I was like, wow, God, that's amazing how he just wants to meet us in that. So we're glad you're listening. Come back next week. God bless.